Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hard parts indeed. A wedding ends in slaughter. A city is burnt to the ground. Weeping and darkness, blood on the street, gnashing of teeth, and only a few people escape unscathed. In today's parable, layers of violence unravel in front of us. We witness an act of brutality that leads to an act of revenge. And just when we sense we've turned the corner towards hope through this leveling of social circumstance, we're thrown back into horror and confronted by another act of violence. I've heard it said before that parables work best when we stop working so hard to interpret them and instead allow them to interpret us. And I wonder how this parable is working on you today. How is this parable interpreting you this morning? One place to begin is to ask where we saw ourselves in the story. Were you afraid at the wedding banquet? Were you wondering if you had worn the right clothes or if you were about to get kicked out? Maybe you were feeling good about being part of the people who made it, the one who survived this gauntlet of casualties. Perhaps you were among the religious leaders, wondering why your best intentions were met with such hostility. In today's scripture, we happen upon this nightmare, this fever dream of terror. A wedding where covenant love is celebrated reveals an empty room. And so slaves are sent out to fill up this wedding banquet hall after the family and friends are a no-show. That is just terrible in itself. The king responds to the tragedy of those who are offered this invitation, killing or ignoring slaves, by burning down an entire city in vengeance. And after this, more slaves are sent out, this time together, whoever they can find on the street. And yet we turn the corner again. The guests don't have the proper attire, are tied up and thrown into the streets where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so here we are with a parable where an act of violence to a few is met with destruction of a city. We discover brutality and disproportionate response. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who had a wedding banquet for his son. It may be compared. But how? This is the third in a series of bloody parables. Stories where catastrophe comes upon those who are sent out to relay a message of hope and joy and kindness and love. It's a third story where vulnerable people get caught up in the crossfire of violence not of their own making. It is the third story where beloved children are murdered. It is the third story where these deaths are met with revenge. We don't need the Gospels to tell us this story. You found it every day this week, every day, on the front page of the newspaper, on every radio station, in every think piece, in every op-ed. The horrors of a brutal bombardment on Gaza, spurned on by the unthinkable attacks on Israeli citizens by Hamas, spurned by the ever-unfolding casualties of destruction and violence that are baked into the history of Palestine itself. As I read this parable over and over again this week, reflecting back to me what happened in our world this past week, I noticed that this parable is not aimed at ordinary people caught in destruction. This is not a parable spoken to people huddled in fear from soldiers and bombs and machine guns. Jesus is speaking these words to the religious leaders of his day, the leaders of his community, who are also negotiating brutal political realities. The people of Palestine at this time are under Roman occupation, and the leaders of Jesus' time have to figure out their survival and their future within this reality. And so it's no surprise that after this series of parables, these same leaders plot to trap Jesus. And in the very next story, we find that they are accompanied by the Herodians, the supporters of King Herod, trying to catch Jesus into an act of blasphemy that will eventually put him into prison, but will eventually lead to his execution by the state. You probably know this Herod Antipas from his temper and his rage and his paranoia. This Herod who is dangerous and impulsive. Appeasing Herod's power, giving over the religious lives of the Jewish people to this protection is a foolish gamble. And so Jesus directs this parable at those who align themselves with power they think they can control, but that will ultimately destroy them, their temple, their city, and send their people into exile again. And in that process, this unwieldy power destroys countless others, bystanders who become casualties of violence, unending violence. The story of a wedding banquet, like all parables, it thwarts our desire for easy allegories, for a clear picture about who is who. We do hear in the background of this the outline of the destruction of Jerusalem that Matthew's community recently experienced. We hear Jesus' anger towards his co-religious. But this parable is for us because it unsettles us and our assumptions. And perhaps like me, you have been especially unsettled this week. Perhaps this parable is not only interpreting us, but also interpreting our world. I have watched this week as many people have tried to extract lessons from the horrors in Israel and Gaza. I've watched with exhaustion and fear as the vengeance of Matthew 22 spills over the page and into our world. And I have been like that surprised wedding guest. I have too been speechless before the impossible demands of navigating the powers of this world that destroy. And so today we're given an invitation to remain unsettled a bit longer. And in that unsettling, we might find an invitation to grief. To grief. We meet an invitation to see cycles of violence collapse in on one another. We are invited to grief's dislocation and disequilibrium. In this parable, Jesus speaks not merely to future predictions about his world, but about his own body. At this point in Matthew's gospel, the pace Jesus walks to his own death has quickened. He will be destroyed by the hands of the powerful. His body will be bound, and he will be thrown into outer darkness. He knows this is coming. And like the guests without the proper robe, Jesus will stand before ruthless authorities, and he will remain speechless before his interrogators. Parables work best when we stop working so hard to interpret them and instead allow them to interpret us. Where was your God in today's parable? Where was your God? Was he the jealous, ruthless king burning down cities at a whim? Was he the guest, the one who wasn't expected, the one who is bound hand and foot before being thrown into the darkness? Or perhaps this week you were so struck by the immensity of violence in this parable that, like one of the guests, you too have no words. Perhaps God isn't here at all. Perhaps your God is missing from the story. And as it is, we may need another piece of this story of redemption, another word to meet us at the place of catastrophe where Matthew leaves us today so unsettled. I have a confession to make. I did not use the entirety of the assigned lectionary Old Testament text today. I could not bear to say aloud words of rejoicing over a city flattened by an invading army. I could not rejoice with those who celebrate an alien people being cast out. The psalm drops us into our own time, which is every time. It is every time. Every season of searching for God in the midst of our terror. And then something breaks. The destruction of the psalm shifts. Beloved, we are waiting a day when the shroud of death that covers all of us, all the nations of the earth, is destroyed forever. When God, like a mother and like a father, holds all people, close and wipes away the tears of their weeping. This is the Lord and for whom we have waited. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Jesus enters history. Jesus gathers to him children who others have cast away. Jesus swallows the shroud of death, takes death into his body, and lets death destroy him. But love is too strong. Love is bound hand and feet, and it is thrown into darkness. And it is there that you will meet Jesus, that we will meet Jesus, in the places of despair and destruction and gnashing of teeth. Will you go with me to find him there? Friends, this has been a devastating week for our world. Many of us feel those echoes of devastation in our own lives, in our own histories, and our own wounds. And you may be afraid or angry or grieving. And that's why we're here. We've come together to gather all that you have here as a community that has entrusted ourselves to the Jesus who died and rose again. And I am going to invite you, in the fullness of whatever you have brought here today, you're welcome to sit in silence. You're welcome to pray. You're welcome to light a candle. You're welcome to bring your burden here. Amen.